Right. I guess it's time to talk to some bees.
Talking bees.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And we today are going to be talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash,
talking
indeed.
Bees.
Talking bees.
Talking halves.
What is that? Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees!
On Talking Trash, we usually, you know, talk about the movies that, you know, people either say are the worst movies ever made, or just trash, like the bottom of the barrel, the ones that maybe people forgot about. We're in 2024, which is insane, right?
Yeah.
So today we are going to be talking about this year's Jason Statham film, The Beekeeper.
The only thing you know is he's a beekeeper.
Directed by David Ayer. Of all people in collaboration, David Ayer's, who, he started really strong with some interesting ones, like...
End of Watch.
End of Watch and Fury, which are both fantastic films. And then he started going downhill with one of the debatable worst DC Comics movies of all time, The Suicide Squad.
It's debatable.
I think it gets a little too much slack. Slack? Flack?
Flack.
Whatever.
I think you're going for the F word.
It's a mess, and I don't know how much of that is on him, because famously they gave it to an editor who was the trailer maker, because the trailers were getting so much hype, and they let them edit that movie. And so I think it's kind of like a debatable film.
He's the writer. You know, you got to put some blame on him.
I don't know if he's the writer. Yes, I know he's the director. He wrote and directed this.
I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, apparently there's an alternate cut, and there's a whole bunch of stuff that they might have slapped in the last minute. And I think the people took the movie over. That's a huge debatable one. I've seen some stuff that he had cut out of the movie that made it make sense. A little bit more. There was a whole bunch of stuff with Joker. And it was edited so sloppily, you can tell that there was problems. And the director's cut, you can see, oh, that makes more sense. We're not talking about that movie today. We're talking about another movie that it goes out of its way to find as many ways to say the word bee. I don't even think it was intentional. I just feel like every word in this film is bee.
Behave, Scott, okay?
Exactly.
Behave, because there's no way for you to possibly forget the name of this film, because they drill it into your head over and over. And they don't just say bee.
No. Anything that relates to a bee.
Hive.
Queen.
I'm like, oh.
Honey.
Honey.
It's like it's being a little...
Oh.
You know. I don't know how many puns I can make in this damn episode.
It's
going to come out of us regardless. This is the weirdest thing, right? This idea, like, there was a time where Jason Statham is just like this guy you want to watch do stuff. The guy puts on a suit. He's always got a shirt, like a button down that's buttoned all the way up with no tie. In a suit, and it's like he'll flex it and then beat the shit out of people in that suit while still buttoned, and you're kind of like, all right, I just like watching this man.
Yeah,
you know,
he's good to watch.
He's got such an intensity, but the problem is, in 2023, this guy slapped out some of the worst shit, and here we are in 2024, and it's still trickling out. What the oddest thing about this movie, The Beekeeper, is just how tired he seems in this film.
Yeah, I mean, besides that, he also is moving a little slower and looking like he's aged.
It's so odd because we just saw, and last year we just saw the Meg 2, Expendables 15, and some other thing I'm thinking. I can't remember it at the moment.
What was that movie that we watched? Oh my God. There was a movie of his that we just watched that we liked.
He might have been in Guy...
It was a comedy. What was the one? He was a comedy. He was like a...
No idea.
Oh my God. Okay. He's like taking jobs. Is this a Meg 2? Was he taking jobs as like a bodyguard for like some douchebag that's like...
Yes.
That was the Meg 2?
No, that was actually Expendables.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was the opening of the Expendables.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I'm going to see myself out.
Because he got fired and he needed a new job.
That's right. That's right there.
Okay. I was going to say that he's in a Guy Ritchie movie last year. Guy Ritchie makes a bunch of great stuff. And when he does his like mob comedy stuff, it's usually pretty damn good. And we actually didn't see that movie. I think it's called The Gentleman, I believe. Oh. I think he's in that as well.
No, we did see it because I gave it a 6. It's called Wrath of Man. Yes, we did. We did see it.
Oh, I don't know. Was that last year?
Yeah,
or was
he's
that an
working
older one?
At the cash truck company, and he's got to move all around a lot of money, and he's yeah. We saw
no, that's
that.
Something. That's something else.
No, it's Guy Ritchie. It says it right here.
Okay, but that's something else. I'm not talking about that one, unless he wasn't in that movie and we didn't see it.
Oh.
Because I know he had another movie we didn't see because he also did The Covenant last year. But we're going off track. So, yeah, we're talking about Jason Statham in this movie in particular where he just... I mean, that's the thing that you really notice right off the bat in this film. He looks very exhausted. And I would say that it's kind of justified because the film in itself is very odd. It feels like every character... feels like they're in a different film.
Yeah, you're like, right.
Everybody's disjointed and everybody is either underacting or overacting.
Yeah, oh, can we just talk about the overacting? Her name is Emmy Raver Lampman and she plays Allison in the Umbrella Academy. It took me a minute to place her because she had different hair in this, but her character was just, I just wanted to punch her. I did not like her character at all.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving this plenty of time where we can just say we're spoiling this movie, everybody. So, you know, if I think by this time everybody's probably had a chance to see it, who wants to see it, who's going to laugh along with us. But yeah, we're going to talk at the plot a little bit here and spoil the whole damn thing because sometimes you don't need to see these movies and we're glad to talk to about it, you know. This movie begins very easily, and I would say that this movie begins in a way that makes you feel like you've missed three movies.
It does. It really does.
And it's really weird because it doesn't need to be this big and it never stops trying to get bigger and it doesn't need to. We just saw a vastly superior film last year with Denzel Washington, which is the third Equalizer film.
So good.
The stakes are very low and it still manages to be a great film. Yeah. And in this movie, it's like, we're going to keep amping it up every 15 minutes. This should be easy.
Yeah, I mean, the long and short of it is that Jason Statham is Jason Statham, right? I mean, he's playing his, you know, he's trying to live a private, comfortable, happy life, a quiet life on a farm, and he's a black op.
Yeah, I wanted to say that the way that it starts, it makes you feel like you've missed the movie before this that sets his character up.
Right.
Which is so crazy that the movie keeps going the way it goes. But yeah, we just find him first off, just picture Jason Statham in a beekeeper outfit. It's just kind of humorous
in itself.
It's
very comical, but the way they started out, you're 100% right. The way they just flung into the movie felt like it should have been a pickup from like the first one.
We're finding him after being wounded and he found himself retired. Now he got out somehow and now he's on this farm and the last one would have ended with him being wounded and finding this place.
I totally get
becoming an actual beekeeper.
Yeah.
And in this woman that he's renting a place out, which is her barn. It looks like a compound and she has a giant lot of land and it's huge and it seems weird because we actually get to see her bank account And it's like, wow, she's got a lot going on for her with not that much money.
Well, since you brought her up, can we please address this situation with Felicia Rashad?
Yeah.
Okay, this woman, she looks great for her age. She looks really good. She was on The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
She's a mom on The Cosby Show. But I gotta say, she's very misused in this. Like, she's in it for like a half a second, and you feel so bad for her character. Like, absolutely terrible for her character. And then they just do her wrong.
Yeah, and I want to point out, though, they have like one scene where they actually are in together, right? These two characters actually have one scene together, and maybe they weren't even on set at the same time. They filmed it like in one way, but they have an odd sexual moment of chemistry.
Okay, I was gonna bring that up too. First of all, you have to know that that's just Felicia Rashad's face. She has that sexual, like, know, that sultry face. She always had it in The Cosby Show too, where she always would be like yelling at Cliff, but she would have that like lifted eyebrow where she was like sexy about it.
It was kind of like that sass.
Yeah.
But here, I would say that it transfers. Like, they have a moment, and if someone put sexual music to the two of them looking at each other, you would believe this was going to be a love story.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
He says to her, you know, no one's ever taken care of me like you have before.
That's really sweet.
And then she gives him like a, you know, like, I can hear the music now.
Like a sultry face. Yeah. It's a very sultry face.
And she gives him, she drops almost like, her face completely changes, and she's like, why don't you come for dinner? You know, let me cook for you tonight.
She says these words, let me feed you.
Yeah, let me feed you.
It's very,
it's romantic.
Sultry.
It feels odd.
It does feel odd. But I kind of was like, okay.
Kind of want it.
Kind
of want it to happen.
No.
I don't care.
She's 80.
Let her get a little Statham.
Oh, my God.
Let him show his stinger.
Oh,
and spread the honey.
Oh, I can't.
You know, sometimes you gotta pollinate.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, we're done. I'm leaving. Right.
Let me get... Okay.
Okay.
What happens is he's like, I'll come. He's basically gonna come for dinner. He doesn't even answer her. It's one of those, like, mysterious. So he's like that mysterious man. And she goes back to her house, and we have to watch her fall down a rabbit hole of ridiculous choices. Where she uses her computer, which has spyware on it, and she calls the numbers on it, and we get to see Looney Tunes comical versions of thieves stealing on the internet.
Yeah, they're like, okay, so they're financial, like, hackers, and this guy, like, it's like, over-the-top goofy. There's like, I don't know, 20, 30 people lined up at computers. Like, it's like a call center.
Yeah.
And they're just...
Everybody's wearing silk outfits.
You know what it reminded me of? Wolf of Wall Street. When they were screaming, you know, and they were doing their whole thing. That's what it felt like when they were doing their trading and stuff. That's what it felt like in that scene.
I would say that this... In Wolf of Wall Street, they're showing you that it's like ridiculous drug use and they're over the top. Here... Everybody looks like a Miami Vice villain. Everybody's wearing silky outfits, all pastel colors.
It looks
all
like a neons. Color Me Bad video.
It is wild.
We're the 90s kids.
But every single person looks like a joke, a parody.
They do.
I mean, let's face facts. These kind of people probably would not be stationed in the United States. They would be overseas somewhere. They would be in a factory.
They definitely
people stuck together in cubicles.
Yes.
They wouldn't treat these people good. I've seen videos of people getting back at these people and showing you where they work. This is some kind of a lunacy. This is, again, the theme of villains in movies all living like some kind of like great world. They're, you know, like you're saying Wolf of Wall Street, but Wolf of Wall Street in the way of the Suicide Squad at a dance club. That's what this movie looks like. They're on a disco stage with lights, like disco lights and giant screens. And comical fonts are flowing up, like they're throwing up on the screen, like, look at this, we got 50 grand. And it's like coming up in like cartoon numbers.
Yes, and they're actually putting the pictures of the people they ripped off on the screen.
Yeah, like they're all just so happy, like, high-fiving.
Oh my God, it's like you are the worst humans on earth.
Yeah, and it's just the fact that they're all Americans in this room, yeah, made me laugh so hard, because I'm like, I do not believe for a minute this would happen.
No, you know what? They all look like trust fund babies. They all look like young, so, yeah. Like, especially the main like douchebag. He just looks like a trust fund, yeah, baby. Like, oh, wham, my dad never paid attention to me. Nee. That kind of thing. But so bottom line is, you can imagine what's going to happen here. She's the only person that cares about him. Something terrible is going to happen to her. She loses all her money in a hacking scam.
Yeah.
And he gets revenge.
Well, the reason that comes about, and which this is crazy, and I think I have a theory about this. He goes to have dinner with her, and he brings a nice jar of honey and label with her name on it. It's very romantic.
It's very sweet.
And he goes up and notices that the fire alarm's going off. So he goes in the house and grabs a knife, and he discovers her body, but not before he has that gun pointed to his head, which is really odd that her daughter has shown up at the house and just so happens to be an FBI agent.
Yeah.
Okay. That's odd that she's never been told about this man, that she doesn't know that she has a friendly beekeeper living in the yard.
Well, we are led to believe that they are a little bit estranged. Like, they don't really talk much. Which she even makes mention of it.
Why did she show up?
Right. Was she also invited for dinner?
That's exactly right. And you know what's funny? He, Jason Statham, the beekeeper, and this woman were so friendly that he knows her daughter's name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when the gun is pointed at her head without even seeing her, she says, how do you know my mother? And he says, I'm sorry with her name. He says her name to her. And how do you know my name? And then he tells her to look to the side. And that's where we see her mother sitting in a chair with a gun on the floor of blood. Now, I have a theory. The Russian in really fast. Her friends or other agents come, and the cops come, and they say that it looks like a suicide.
Yeah, it is a suicide. She killed herself. Well, and we know why, because all of her bank accounts were drained, and one of the bank accounts was a charity for little kids. It had $2 million in it.
Yeah, I know that we know. Well, we're told that it's a suicide, but I was just going to say that she thinks it's him. So she has him arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because it's a movie, he doesn't say anything that he actually needs to say. He basically is cold, very calculating, and looks like a mass murderer the way he's reacting.
He does. Yeah.
He's not saying, I'm sorry about your mother. I was good friends with her. She invited me to dinner and I came and I heard the fire alarm. Instead, he goes, I heard the fire. He doesn't even say I heard. He says in a way, like the cops go, are you military? Why would you? Like the way he says it, they actually instantly know.
Yeah, it's very like calculating.
He doesn't say sorry. He won't look anybody in the eye. And he's got a face on that. Like, he is about to shit his pants. So they know he looks like a bad guy. So I don't blame the daughter. Well, she's like, there's no way my mom would have committed suicide. Now, I have a theory that this movie is one of those kinds of movies that are like, we have to set this up for sequel bait.
Oh, no.
So let's work something in there.
No.
And I'm like, what if she wasn't shot? What if she was killed? Oh. And they could say that later on, because there has to be something to do with the charity that she was fun. She was taking care of the money for a charity, and she had $2 million in it. And I was like, there's going to be more to that.
No.
They never talk about it again.
Thank God. The movie it doesn't even need a plot.
No, this is one of those movies that thinks, well, what if this is successful? We could bring it back.
Yeah. Now, mind you, Jason Statham, he just starts going after these hackers, these scam artists and stuff. Now, these people are like ghosts. You can't find these people. That's why it's so easy for them to rip you off and never be heard from again, because they're like ghosts. But he seems to have some contacts somewhere. Now, we never know who he's calling.
He calls his secret organization with a phone that he found in his beehive.
Yeah. And it's just comical, the push and pull with the bad guys and him. And I have to say, these little douchebags, can we just Can we address Josh Hutcherson? I can't stand this little motherfucker.
He hasn't even come in yet because Statham goes and destroys the people who are the people who ripped her off.
Yeah, he destroys them.
It's amazing. Right, that's the kind of stuff that's entertaining. And all of this movie was him beating up these white collar like criminals. Yes. I would have been funny. I would have been loving it. But it takes itself so serious.
It does. And, you know, he doesn't ever get a scratch on him. Ever.
He does in the last fight.
In the last 5 minutes of the movie, he gets a little scratch on his eye. Oh. But I'm so sick of this, you know, Hollywood muscle men, you know, crap. Where, like, no one ever gets hurt. No one ever gets hurt.
He could do everything. I have a problem with that. And we'll get to it more and more. But, yeah, he takes out these people. It's amazing. And the head... dork, the guy, he's like this scrawny guy who's in charge of this place. He's actually the guy who ripped her woman off that he wants revenge for. And that kid, he gets out, he torches their organization. It's like a floor and it blows up. The moment that someone calls the organization, it'll blow up. So he basically gets everybody out of the building and they say that he left all the bodyguards that he had beat up. So they all blew up. There's four dead bodies, apparently. But I would say that if anybody else was in this building, they're dead.
Oh, yeah.
Because it blows up multiple floors.
Yeah, it was a pretty big explosion.
Yeah.
I'm a beekeeper to protect the hive. Sometimes I use fire to smoke out hornets.
This is a multi-million dollar operation, asshole. Okay, so you can't come up here white knighting. Will you stomp his ass out, please?
Well, he takes him out, like, branch by branch. There's, like, 20 different
buildings. As the movie goes on, yeah, but this kid calls Josh Hutcherson, which you wanted to point out. So I just want to let you talk about
it. Oh, my God. Okay. First of all, he looks like a 90s nightmare. Everything about him, like, his outfit, he just looks like he stepped right out of the 90s. Like, somebody, like, oh, you know, when I mentioned Color Me Bad earlier... Literally looks like that. Looks like, you know how like the Wayans used to dress on In Living Color? Like with the silky shirts? He looks like that. But he has the worst haircut ever. And he's just a little douche. I just don't know.
It's again, the problem of it not being like more like reality. Say the kids in Succession, where they're in suits and they're trying to be these big, but they're douchebags, but they're still playing the game correctly.
Right.
And this is going the way of, no, everybody is like Silicon Valley parodies.
Yeah. You know?
And so, of course, he's like Facebook. He's like a Mark Zuckerberg. Ugh. He's on a skateboard. He's got people doing the rings on the bowls. He's got a sushi chef. I mean, it's just so stupid. And he's dressed like a goddamn idiot.
He looks like a nightmare.
And so, of course... He's the big guy, apparently. That's why that guy calls him and says, look, this guy came and blew up your station. And he's like, oh, shit. And this leads him to call people to help. He calls. Now, this is mind-blowing. This movie has famous people in it.
Three majorly wasted actors.
We're talking about Oscar-nominated actors.
We're talking Jeremy Irons.
So Jeremy Irons gets a call, and he's telling him, hey, I need your help. And then he tells him, no, I don't want to be anywhere near your criminal stuff. And so I don't know what that's about, because obviously later on he's very forced into it. So why he wouldn't say yes here is beyond me.
Yeah, well, because we learn that this kid's mother is an influential person in the community.
And you don't know that until the whole movie. And that's why I was talking about the stakes keep rising for an odd reason that shouldn't have to be in this movie.
Yeah.
He tells him no, so that forces him to tell his underling, hey, you take care of it on your own. Now, I love this, because this kid, they figured out that the last people that he ripped off, one of those people, they go to the house, it's this woman, they see his truck. So they go after him, but not before they have to shoot his beehives.
You know, I thought it was going to be super amazingly funny when they did that, because there was like six beehives lined up next to each other and they just like machine gunned the hell out of them. I thought the bees were going to fly in the truck and...
And they almost looked like they were going to.
And they didn't. And I'm like, oh, motherfucker.
And I'm not
going
to lie.
I want these bees to do something.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm mad that in this movie he never uses the bees.
No, you would think that he would, because the whole situation is just like, the whole movie is based around these bees.
And they want you to know that, yeah.
Oh, they drill it in your skull, so.
And Jason Statham only talks in bee talk. Like, I mean, he's not like he's buzzing, but I'm saying that he won't stop saying, oh, I'm the beekeeper. That's all yeah. he keeps saying. The hive, I have to clean out the hive. You know, stuff like that. I have to make honey. You know, that's it. And in the opening, there's a setup where he is shown to take out a wasp nest that is now infiltrated the bees, and he has to kill them. So they show like how he does that, and I thought, oh, this is coming back because it's so cool looking.
Yeah.
No. Nope. No, doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean anything. It's like
just him cleaning out the bees.
I mean, I think we're led to believe in the beginning that maybe he is just a beekeeper and that's like his thing.
Yeah, right.
But like, honestly, so he's part of, okay,
let's talk about the organization that he apparently works for and yes. how much it makes no sense.
Okay. So he is what they call a beekeeper.
Literally the beekeeper.
He's a literal beekeeper and he's yes. an operative beekeeper.
Yeah.
And this is like some underground where like they erase fingerprints and all knowledge of you. Organization.
Yeah, a weird organization that the CIA and the FBI aren't privy to.
No. He doesn't have any kind of like identity at all.
Yeah. But everybody seems to know, but not know, because Jeremy Irons is finally told, hey, he said he was a beekeeper. And he's like, huh. Oh, shit. You really gone and fucked up. You got an actual beekeeper. And he never explains to like Josh Hutcherson. He doesn't say, no, that's a secret organization. He never explains that to him.
No.
He just keeps saying, you never fuck with a beekeeper.
Yeah.
So you got to think that this kid's like, shit, I didn't know beekeepers were so cool.
Right. I mean,
you know, that's the whole movie is like that. And no one even really ever mentions it to anybody else. Nope. They're just like, he's a damn beekeeper. So
yeah.
It's like, you have to know by now. Now, okay, let's just talk about this. This doesn't make any sense to me. There's a secret organization that works outside of the law. They say that what they do, and by the way, we're told all this through this FBI agent who is the daughter of the woman who's dead, who cares nothing in this movie about her mother dying.
No.
She is more worried about going after Jason Statham than anything else, and Jason Statham cares more about her own mother.
Than she does.
And,
yeah,
it's like, never even talked about. It's just like it's a thing.
She doesn't even care at all. Like, she barely sheds a freaking tear. But, like, honestly, if there was a vigilante going after the bad guys that hurt my mother, I would step aside and let him do his job.
Yeah, and the movie even knows it because they have other characters say, well, shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Should you just give up?
Just let him do it.
And you're kind of... And she is only in this movie. She's terrible. She's a terrible character in
terrible.
This film. She is basically exposition dumps. Yeah. She literally comes in scenes to just force dialogue into like this. Oh my God, he's a beekeeper. And he goes in the hive and cleans it out and makes sure that the queen doesn't overstep her bounds. And they work in a way that they're above the law. And you know, there's a bee called a queen slayer who, if they think the queen is not good, they'll go and kill the queen and replace it.
Yes, because the queen gave birth to a piece of shit son.
Well, I mean, yeah, but she keeps saying that, but she doesn't even know where that's going until we're finally told, like, fucking an hour into this movie, we're told, oh, Josh Hutcherson is the son of the President of the United States.
Yes. And that's why mother. Jeremy Irons is working for him as a favor to his mother, who he had some kind of an affair with, obviously, at one point.
And everything's questionable.
He promised to take care of Josh Hutcherson while she's, you know, doing, you know, presidential crap. And so, this is the most amazing thing. First of all, he is like, I mean, honestly, he's like 4'11" of a little shit. Jeremy Irons is like 6-something. He could just kick him. And he just lets him get away with everything. It makes me so mad.
Yeah, because he's in love with his mother.
Yes, who's the goddamn president. And so
when this reveal came, I was like, come on.
So just to recap really quick about what's going on. So Josh Hutcherson owns about 20 different buildings that are scam. They're like all scams.
Yeah.
They rob people of their retirement, their pensions, everything. They are telephone scams. And he's got this full-on operation with 20 plus buildings going with this, okay?
Remember our favorite burning building? United Data Group? Guys who work there are hackers, con men, fraudsters, et cetera, et cetera. Guy who ran it, Garnett. He's in the book. He is a known mob associate. He's missing, but I've got PD chasing him down. Okay, so I had some analysts run some, and I think I'm starting to get the shape of the animal. Dude, I think United Data Group is one of several call centers, so there's got to be, like, a central office that's controlling all of them, and that's what we got to find. Wiley, this could be, like, a billion-dollar-a-year operation.
Now, his mother is the fucking president of the United States, and he's running this stupid scam.
It's even funnier. Her and her husband created software that helps the government. They're virtually like these big people for security for the United States. And he took that software and under their nose, no one knows about this, stole money from people to funnel her campaign to push her to be president. And she didn't know a damn thing about it. And nobody seems to have known until all this stuff comes. And this one FBI agent and her partner, who has kids, that's his character, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He has kids, and he's there to say things to her. That's it. These two people accidentally discover all of this. They just uncover this so easily.
Yeah.
And we don't learn how to discover it. It just comes. They go, at one point, they just go, yeah, it turns out the money funneled the presidency. And they're like, how'd they figure that shit out? Who knows? Who cares? Let's move on.
Yeah.
That's the whole movie. And I have to keep talking about this organization, that beekeeper organization, because it doesn't make any sense to me why any other organization or government would allow this to exist, and because they have no one to work for. My favorite part, though, is that first off, a beekeeper is allowed to retire. That's interesting.
Yeah, because, no, you retire when you're dead from those kind of things.
Yeah, and it seems like these people commit. Now, my favorite bit is that they go, okay, this has gone too far. And the only way this happens is that Jeremy Irons calls Minnie Driver.
Okay, that is another wasted actress.
Odd. She's only in this for about 5 minutes.
But she has literally no point.
Yeah, she is, I guess, some head up in the government.
She works for the CIA. She's standing in front of the big gold emblem, remember?
Is she the new CIA head?
No, she just works for the CIA.
No, she had to be a bigwig because he doesn't work there anymore, Jeremy Irons. He used to be.
Oh, well, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter, but he calls her for help, and she's like,
A beekeeper?
Well, that's not good.
Oh, it's a beekeeper? Oh, my God, you're in trouble. No, we got the beekeepers are going to send their new beekeeper to take out the old beekeeper. Right? And so you think, oh, that's cool, because that means there's going to be another Jason Statham.
Yep.
Because this person, whoever got that job, has to be the best. Nope. No. We get another cartoon villain.
She is. She looks like Prince in the Revolution.
Again, this is a person who doesn't exist in the same world as some of the other things that are happening.
Oh my God. Where did she come from? First of all, she looked like she popped out of Cool World.
Yeah.
And she has like this long, like purpley, like bedazzled coat.
It's a giant trench coat, a pink trench coat.
Ugh.
She looks like one of the bad guys from Gem.
Yes, she looks like a misfit. Excuse me, don't ever say bad guys. Say misfit.
The misfit.
Or get out of my house. Thank you.
I just couldn't get the name.
You're fired.
Jeez. Out of my way, keep out of my way. Out of my way, I ain't playing around. Out of my way, keep out of my way. Out of my way, I got to cover ground. I got what it takes and I'm on the attack.
Yeah, she does.
I'll use synergy and all.
She looks like a cartoon.
Cartoon villain. It should have been Ruby Rose. Again, it was like, is this going to be Ruby Rose?
Oh my God. It's a knockoff. Oh my God. It was so cartoonish. And this fight happens at a freaking gas station.
Yeah, but we got to point this out, right? That he's going to place to place and beating people to people, right? And nobody can track his location. No one can figure out that he's going in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And And nobody knows how to use security cameras or at the stoplights or anything. He just has never seen.
No.
And he goes to a gas station. All right. That's his plot. He's going to just go to a gas station. And this is where she just shows up. This other beekeeper. And it's not a surprise attack. She probably could have just sniped him from across the street without a problem. And instead, she rams her car into him, comes out laughing like a fucking lunatic.
Yep.
And attacking him until he can just keep beating her. And he's not even breaking a sweat.
Nope.
And she gets so mad. He kicks the shit out of her. She gets so mad that she jumps in the back of her pickup truck. And there's a Gatling gun. Now, I don't know if you noticed this in the shot, but she's shooting it through her car.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lick of sense. And now, by the way, if you didn't hear it, Joe said this is all at a gas station.
Yep.
She's shooting the gas station with a Gatling gun.
Yep.
It's shooting, and they tell you how many bullets a minute. Like they say, oh, that's 100 bullets a second. Right? And I'm like, yeah. 100 bullets a second in a gas station.
Yeah,
and
that
everybody doesn't blow up.
Yeah, it would have just blown right up.
And what I love is they keep showing that her people are still alive. She's riddling in this place. And he's just standing there. He has enough time to go get some honey. Right? And he just throws it at her in the head and gets her. Instantly. And it like makes her like, ooh. And he's able to throw a lighter on her, basically, and just set her on fire.
Honey?
It's flammable as fuck. Who knew?
It was just so pointless and dumb.
This is the person who took over for him.
Yeah, she's supposed to be at least on his level. Now, he literally can kill 5 SWAT guys in a matter of seconds without even blinking an eye. And this chick shows up in her Purple Rain Prince coat.
Yes.
And just thinks she's going to take him out. It was just, I was like, what is happening now?
And you're like, why? And why would she be so flashy? The whole point of a beekeeper is to completely be under the radar, sneak in, be able to kill anybody. And no, she looks like a fucking idiotic nightmare.
She looked like Sheila E. in the Glamorous Life video, okay? I'm sorry. I cannot. There's just no way to describe this chick. It was just so out of left field and ridiculous. And this is supposed to be a professional assassin?
Yeah, and what I love, too, is that her secret lair, he knows where that is. They don't switch them. They don't blow them up after you leave. They just keep them and they pass them down, apparently.
Yeah, no, you need your thumbprint, so he had to hack off her finger after she was
dead. This is the Court of Owls from Batman, except in this one, the, like, you know, they don't even cover their faces. Everybody should just know who they are. Yeah. The government should have tracking on these people. They must have killed tons of people.
Can I just say something that I should have said in the beginning? Okay, so these organizations, these hackers, these companies that Josh Hutcherson has. Okay, the FBI and CIA have been trying to track these guys for ages and ages. Now, Felicia Rashad just died yesterday. And he's already found 2 of the layers. You realize that, right?
In a
24-hour time span. Now, this is, he did in 24 hours what the CIA and FBI could not have done in like 20 years.
Yes. And my favorite bit of that is that there's a beekeeper network of people that you call and with a track phone, and that gets you with on a call with them, a satellite phone or some sort, and they support, beekeeper support. Oh, it's going to be hard to find them. Oh, found them. It took me a little bit.
But isn't his beekeeper number retired? Why are they still helping?
Exactly. They go, are you retired? And he's like, I need a favor. Okay. And then they call her up and they go, hey, we got to kill the beekeeper. And she's like, oh, okay.
Oh my God.
The person I just helped. Okay. I'll send a new beekeeper. And then my favorite bit of this, again, is Minnie Driver finds out that he killed the new beekeeper. She just called Jeremy Irons and she goes, I don't want to be in this movie anymore. Okay, bye.
She's like, you're on your own.
You're on your own. Bye.
Why did they even call her? It's a silly choice.
She actually tells him, hey, just so you know, the beekeepers lost the beekeeper, and now they're, like, going to stay out of it. The beekeepers have decided to stay out of it.
Oh my God.
I mean, the whole point is that the beekeeper, if there's a bad bee in the hive and they're going to ruin something, that they take that bee out. The whole point is that they would want to take him out because he's working above the law of their justice system, right? So it doesn't even make sense. And they're saying that Jason Statham is like, no, he's on his own, and beekeepers don't die. They go until they finish their job. Like, they keep saying that. Every time something happens, there's actually a scene where Jeremy Irons hires all the best goons that he can get, SEAL Team 6 people, all these Black Ops guys, and they're in a room, and he tells them all this story. He's like, you guys are all pussies and compared to a beekeeper. And they're like, I don't understand. How can one man be beaten by, you know, like, and he's like, that's the thing. You don't get it. The beekeeper gets it. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Like, what is the point of having this, like, little rally? Like, this could have been done over the phone, like, or in an email.
Yeah.
Like, okay, meet up at this point and get your shit together and go get them. Period.
And that's it. And I love that the best team that he can get, they're playing with guns. They're like, and then he's like, don't shoot yourself in the face.
Oh, I'm my
like,
God.
This is SEAL Team 6 people. I mean, come on.
But don't you feel like later on in the movie that, like, all the goons that Josh Hutcherson hired, like that big Australian guy or whatever. Oh, we have
to get to him later. But
like,
yeah,
don't you feel like this is just a comedy show?
He
like,
didn't hire him.
Where did they even...
Jeremy Irons hires him. He's like the last resort. Yeah. And I got to tell you, that's the funniest bit. I was like, the president doesn't have some kind of secret organization on their own to hire. They don't have their John Wick to come in and fight the beekeeper.
Yeah.
Like, the president doesn't have anybody. Jeremy Irons secretly has to get these people.
But they're, like, seriously, like, straight out of, like, a YouTube video or something.
Well, we gotta get... Yeah, we gotta...
It's so comical. I'm like, what is going on?
That's where we're going. They're on their own, and they come up with the plan. Josh Hutcherson and Jeremy Irons come up with a plan. Like, let's go hang out with your mother. Because if we're around your mother, he can't come after us.
Yeah.
Because she's the president, and the beekeeper would never go after the queen bee.
Yeah.
And then he does. They go to a party, and Jeremy Irons now hires what Joe was just talking about, which is, I guess, his last resort, probably the big payday. That's probably why he didn't do it originally, because it's probably too expensive, because this is the man who has killed a beekeeper in the past.
Yeah.
He is, imagine Sean William Scott in an outfit. Sean William Scott dressed like Smash Mouth, but acting like a Taika Waititi. Like, it is a mashup of bizarre choices. This actor.
It looks like as if like Sean William Scott like blew up like the guy from Big Trouble in Little China.
I mean, he's like buff.
Yeah.
He looks like, who's that famous chef that makes all the food that you...
Guy Fieri. He does.
He does, but with black hair, mutton chops. He's wearing Hawaiian... He's, again, another character wearing lunatic stuff. He's got like all kinds of stuff strapped to his chest. He had like
a freaking yellow windbreaker.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, first of all, everybody looks like they stepped out of the 90s in this shit. Okay, everybody. Yes. I'm like, what is going on? Like, even at the, what's her face? The girl from Umbrella Academy, the main FBI agent. She was wearing jeans up to her neck. First of all, ladies, I don't get that fucking trend. Okay. The mom jean. Stop it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I was
Why are you wearing
her.
Jeans up to your fucking neck?
I didn't want to talk about her too much, but she looked like they were trying to cover her up a lot.
She was wearing oversized jackets.
Yeah. I noticed something was up with that. I was wondering about it.
Maybe she's pregnant. I don't know. But she's such a very, very beautiful girl. But her character in this movie, just I couldn't take her. I couldn't take the character.
And she's like a mess. She's like the typical cop where she spills coffee on things and doesn't care. She's eating Twinkies. She's drinking gas station coffee.
Yeah, it's always such a cliche in these movies. Yeah. It was like, okay, you can make an action movie and not do every single cliche.
Yeah, and the partner is always the one with the family, and she doesn't have the family. She's like a loner, and he's the one with all the kids.
Yeah, she's the drunk with all the bottles on the coffee table, and she wakes up and all that. Like, come on, get a hold of yourself. You know, like,
such a comedy.
It's such a cliche. And she's actually hunting Jason Statham's character, like, she wants to put him away and, you know, he shouldn't be doing this. But literally, these people killed your mother.
Yeah.
Not directly, but indirectly killed your mother. She doesn't give a shit. She's the worst.
When Josh, yeah, she is the worst. When Josh Hutcherson and Jeremy Irons are coming up with a plan to hang out with the mother and hang out with that Sean William Scott weirdo looking dude, he goes and takes out another building of FBI. With the FBI is there, they all figure it out by going to the gas station. She goes, "Hey, look down the road. What was there? Oh, the last building he blew up. Look down the road the other way. What's over there? Oh, it's another building he's going to." That's literally it. Happens.
That's
in scene.
How they fill. That's how they fill it in. That's how they come up with the. I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah. So they figured it out, but they still have to go back to their bosses instead of going to that building, getting it ready. They go to their bosses and say, "Hey, this is what we think is happening."
Yeah.
So they send all these agents, the FBI, all these people to defend those SEAL Team 6 guys, all that in one building, and he takes out every single department in this building.
Yep.
And he kills tons of FBI people. So oh, he's my killing God. Good guys.
That's what I said to you during the movie. I was like, he dropped an elevator where one guy got slashed in half. These are...
Yeah, those are the bad guys, SEAL Team 6 bad guys, like the mercenaries.
Yes, but
it is very odd because I'm like, he doesn't know who's killing.
That's true. They are all in the same kind of outfit. And
he could have killed her daughter because she's there too.
Yeah. Like, he's just killing people left and right, and you know, law enforcement officers and stuff like that. So he's just gone right out of his mind. He's killing everybody. It has not even anything to do with these little dweebs on the freaking, you know, hacking the computers and stuff. It's not even about that anymore.
Yeah.
He's just going bonkers. And he doesn't, like I said, have a freaking scratch on him. He's literally taking out all of these FBI trained SEALs, and he doesn't have a goddamn scratch on him.
Yeah.
It's just, all right, enough already. First of all, Jason Statham is not a young man anymore. So, you know, he'll get his ass kicked at least a little bit. I mean, even Denzel Washington gets freaking shot in the Equalizer movies. I mean, come on. You know, he still gets hurt. He's not invincible. And I can't stand it when these action stars have that little clause in their contract that, oh, you know, no, you're going to be the victor. You're not going to get hurt. You're not going to have a scratch on your pretty face. Fuck that.
Yeah, he does allow himself some stuff, but not too much. He still looks like a saint.
Yes. It's like, come on. Can you please whip out your notebook and take notes on Die Hard?
Oh, God, yeah. Damn you. Well, that's the problem, right? So he takes all those people out, and that's when they move to that wherever, the Martha's Vineyard or whatever the hell they are. And this is my favorite. They know someone's coming to kill them. The president's there, right? Secret Service is there. The FBI is there. Everybody's there. And they also have these crazy new mercenaries that have actually killed a beekeeper. And they have a truck full that drop off what looks like a bunch of Lemmys from, like, you know, the band, you know, his band of Motorhead.
Yeah.
They all jump out of a truck. There's like a whole
That's
bunch
what I'm
of
telling
guys
you.
That look like biker gangs come out.
They just went to a biker bar and got some extras.
Yeah. And this is at the presidential, wherever their beach house, whatever the hell this place is, right? They're at a beach house, right? And they have a party going on.
Why are they having a party? They know someone's coming to kill them. A freaking trained assassin.
Yeah, and they never thought this party guests might be a problem.
Yeah, you're having a party? For what? There's a bunch of like elitist freaking morons at this party with their little stupid dresses and their cocktails and all this.
It's
like,
baffling.
What is happening at this party? Yeah. And there's like a DJ. Like,
yeah.
It reminded me straight out of like a total 90s movie, like Can't Hardly Wait or something like that, where like there's just a bunch of teenagers hanging out at a freaking mansion.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. I was like, this movie, what happened here?
Yeah.
What
happened? And I love that they're facing the ocean.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking, oh, he could just fly a helicopter in, or he can shoot a missile from somewhere, or snipe them, or anything. And there's no, like, boats. You don't see the Coast Guard surrounding this place. This is the President of the United States.
Right.
And there is so many entries to this.
Yeah.
And they're welding sewer caps on and all this stuff. And the way that Jason Statham, whatever his name is, the beekeeper gets in there, the way he gets in is preparing with a skateboard to get under a truck. This is the funniest shit. There's a guy who's using a little thing to roll under trucks to search for anybody hiding under the truck, or drugs or guns or anything under the trucks. And he knows that's going to happen. He knocks this guy out and is able to lift him into the truck to put him in there.
Yeah, tuck him underneath the carriage. How fucking
impossible would that have been?
I mean, he would have to have the strength of the Incredible Hulk to do that.
Yeah, his limbs. We can't even pick up like a paper plate with a burger on it with one hand without it flopping in half. This is a human body with limbs.
Right.
And he's able to pick it up perfectly and put it in this thing.
And he only had like a window of 5 seconds to do this. Yes. So he's got super strength. He's invincible. It's just, it goes on.
And no one ever notices this guy disappeared.
No, because Jason Statham is dressed just like him. So he just gets out from underneath the freaking car and it joins the group.
And I will say this, because he is a son of a bitch, he straps all these cars with explosives. So that guy is dead.
Yes, he's killed so many people that didn't deserve it at all in this movie. But, like, can I just say, first of all, he would never even be in any proximity of this house. Because there would be a perimeter. There would be, like, a perimeter set up. She's the president of the United States. There's no way that he would be able to crawl through a bush and suddenly be on property. Agree. Come on.
And we pointed out before, he let go the people who are actually ripping people off. He gave them a second chance. Run now or die.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
But these people, he's killing agents, like people who've given their lives to protecting people.
Yes, it's just shocking. Like, it's so shocking.
Weird.
But he has
he has no moral compass at all.
He has none at all. Like, I think even he forgot why he's doing this halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
But it's like he has a big fight with Gigantor, Beefcake.
Okay, that's the best fight in the whole movie.
And I gotta tell you, that was the best scene in the whole.
I would say that I agree. I thought I was very mad because. What we found out was he killed a beekeeper, but he almost died in the process. He lost a leg. Mm-hmm. And he said, I only won. I only survived and killed him out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And so they have a fight. And what really pissed me off was the first, they almost have him. They have him dead to rights. He's got him with a gun back to his head. Mm-hmm. And he can just shoot him. And I think that this guy would have instantly, because he would be scared that I might die during this fight again. So I think he would have shot him. And Jeremy Irons is like, shoot him. But he doesn't take the shot. And it allows Statham to just get up and stick a knife into his face. And I was mad because I was like, oh man, they already killed this guy? No, he's still alive. He's got a hole in his mouth with blood shooting out. And mm-hmm. he's still willing to fight this guy. So
wait, I think he shot him in the face.
Did he shoot him in the mouth?
Because he did like a huge, like he had like a little hidden detonator in his, like between his fingers.
Yeah,
and he detonated those bombs. Yeah, so he blew up the freaking cars to create a diversion so he can grab their guns and shoot. But there was literally 27 guns on him at that moment.
Yes.
It's like, there's no way you're escaping this man. Like, come on.
Yeah, and he didn't accidentally kill the two FBI agents that are the main ones.
Yeah.
Every single time they escape death by sheer movie luck. It doesn't make any sense that nothing ever kills them.
Dumb. Like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, I can't take it anymore. Like, and then at that scene where they do have the fight.
They do have a fight in a hallway of, like, glass.
Mirrors.
Glass mirrors.
Yeah, mirrored. The walls were mirrored. And I gotta say, it looked good.
It looked good. And what I really like about it is they're almost evenly matched. The only reason this guy dies is because he has no leg.
Yeah, I mean, he pulled a cheap shot. He knocked the leg out from under him. Out.
And he still keeps going.
He does. He refuses to die.
Yeah. This is very reminiscent of the fight in The Raid 2 where he's fighting baseball bat, Hammer Girl and Baseball Bat Boy.
Yeah.
He's fighting them in a room full of a hallway of mirrors as well. Yeah. And it's almost reminiscent of like they borrowed from that. It's actually well done. It's well choreographed. It looks great. And Jason Statham is wounded here. He's stabbed in the chest.
He finally gets hurt for once.
Yeah, he is stabbed in the chest, and he still gets the upper hand and is able to kill.
Oh, he stabs him in the gut.
Yes. Yeah. And not in the chest yet. Yeah.
So yeah, he gets the upper hand, takes out Gigantor, and then he has to deal with Josh Hutcherson,
who now has revealed that he did all that stuff that he did, and the president had no idea, and now she wants to come out and tell the truth, and if they go to jail, they'll go to jail, but she thinks it's the right thing to do because she actually cares about people.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's believable.
It's a reveal that she actually is a good guy.
Okay, but is she, though?
Yeah, in this scene, she's saying, yes, she is.
And she's willing to risk life and limb for... because her stupid ass son, like, that's an embarrassment. She's willing to shame herself as the president of the United States.
Yeah, she said, I think it's the right thing to do. And that makes him shoot the second head of the FBI in the head and then Josh put a Hutcherson, gun on his mother.
Josh Hutcherson does that. I was in shock. I was like, I know this guy's a little peewee, but I didn't think he had it in him.
Yeah.
You know, he just looks like the guy. He's the guy that's hiding behind the bigger guy. You know, like, he's just a little shit.
He still is a little shit. He does put a gun on his mother and actually goes to shoot her in the head. But
oh, my God, I thought he was going to shoot her.
Statham just shoots Hutcherson in the head to stop him from killing the president.
Yep, and that's the end of it. And it's like, okay.
Well, the FBI agents are there. And before this all happens, the one agent tells his partner that she should actually be on his side. Because he's the only one doing anything about these people.
That's true. I mean, she's standing... Okay, first of all, this character that, you know, whatever. I don't know her name in the movie, but she's Allison from Umbrella Academy. She has nothing to do here. She's just that cliche FBI agent.
The exposition dumps. That's all she's there for. It's really embarrassingly weird.
It is. And then...
She doesn't fit in the movie either. She gets bad one-liners and always bad jokes.
It's just not... It's not a good look on her. It's not. But, yeah, this movie...
Statham is able to get away. I just gotta say this real fast. Statham is... He gets away by jumping out of a window.
Oh, yeah.
She puts a gun on him. She allows him to leave. And there's no one on the lawn protecting the president of the United States.
Nope.
He's able to just get away, go down the beach where he hid a perfect swimsuit.
Well, it was a whole backpack with a whole scuba diving gear set in it where he can just retreat into the ocean like Godzilla and say, peace out, homies. Meanwhile, all being stabbed in the gut.
Yes.
He's fucked up. He probably has a concussion.
Yes.
And he's just going to go swim in the ocean.
That's it.
All right. Well, Finn, thank you. The credits started rolling.
When he jumped out of the window, Joe, there was a hope in my mind that he was going to fly away like a bee. I just wanted to see it. And
he had some wings under his jacket.
Someone needs to edit that. That at the end of The Beekeeper, he just flies off.
Oh, God. Oh,
Wouldn't that have been the best fucking ending of all time if he just buzzed off? When you know how in the end of...
he just buzzed off.
In the end... I don't want to spoil it for anybody, one of the best movies is Birdman. And at the end of Birdman, he jumps out the window. And we watch his daughter, Emma Stone, go to the window to see him. And she looks up. And we're giving the belief... that he flew away and actually became Birdman.
Yeah.
And so we just see her smile as we realize that he's flying away. The same ending happens here, except he lands on the lawn and is able to look at the FBI agent, who's the daughter with the Emma Stone character. But wouldn't it have been better if when he jumped out the window, she looked up and smiled like he flew?
It would have been great.
It would have been fucking amazing. It would have been really good.
But, like, yeah, no, they didn't do anything cool like that. He just retreated into the ocean, Finn. And he's stabbed in the gut, bleeding out. He's okay.
Yeah.
He can swim.
And I do believe that they thought, this might be big enough. Let's have some open ending stuff.
No, we're not having another one. I don't want to.
Oh, I don't think they will. There's no way.
I don't want to.
There's no way.
I can't. I can't.
We both admit, this is not a good film.
It is not. No, it is not a good film.
But, as I always ask, is this the worst movie ever made?
No.
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 So,
not even close.
On our ranking list, this is not near the bottom, right? this would be very far back on our list of ranking the worst movies we've seen on this podcast so far. So, I mean, do you think this is better than the Mortal Kombat remake movie?
No.
You think this is worse?
Yeah.
You think that Mortal Kombat remake movie?
Yeah. I'd rather watch the Mortal Kombat remake than this again.
Okay.
This one I can't do. I can't do this a second time. It was one and done, and we're good. We're good on it. Yeah, I don't need to ever see this again.
Well, okay, then my next question is it worse or better than It's a Wonderful Knife?
All right. You know, I'm going to say I think it might be worse.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I think it might be worse. It was nonsense.
Is it worse than Firestarter's remake?
No, I did not like Firestarter.
Okay, so Firestarter's still worse.
Yeah, Firestarter's crap. All right,
so we're saying this is going to be our number 16 spot on our list.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's
not
17 movies we've done.
That's not a bad spot to be in. It's okay.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, what are we giving this, though? Because if we're rating it like that, I'm guessing we're giving it around a 5 or a 4. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm just going to, I don't know. I mean, I didn't really care much for anybody in this movie, but it wasn't like the worst thing. I'll say it's a 4. I don't think it's a mediocre film because it was so over the top. It was just too much to believe, and the characters were trash. Yeah. I'll say 4.
I mean, there was so much in this movie that, and I'm going to say this: this is actually a short movie that feels very long.
Yeah, it was an hour and a half,
and it felt like it was reaching the 2-hour mark at one point. I was actually kind of like, when they started going up, and they said it was the president's son. I was like, holy shit, movie, you don't need to do this. And now it feels like there's another half an hour tacked on.
Yeah, so extra. It was so extra. And I thought they were going to
tone it down.
I really thought they were going to say that this is going all the way to the top where the president of the United States is a bad guy. And how are they going to take her down? Because she's the president, you know, but they didn't go there. But it was a little bit extra with the son who's the, you know, the first son. And he's a bad guy, and he's got this empire. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. All they had to do was just make this some, like, you know, some rip-off artist and his mob, and he just has to take down this group. You could have open-ended it that at the end he finds that thing, and he's like, yeah, it's only the beginning. And then you blow up the main bad guy.
Beginning.
Then you, yes. See? Something God. Like that.
No.
There's more wasps in the beehive or something like that. No. There's more hornets in the bee's nest.
Oh, God, Jesus.
It's time to kick the hornet's nest. Oh, God. You know, something like that at the end. They could have done that easily, and this would have been a much easier flowing film. The fact that they went this far out of their way without even setting up Jason Statham as an actual character, he feels like a joke version of himself.
He does.
He feels like almost a parody in his own movie. And it's odd to see people like Minnie Driver, but makes me believe that Minnie Driver is in this movie to have some kind of universe set up. Like, it doesn't make sense that there's actually a scene where she looks beautiful. She's in a green dress at a party, and that's it. They just have her on the phone at this party in a green dress in full, like, just looks like a gala. She's like in an important thing. And you think, why'd they do all of this? No, they could have just had her at a computer desk.
Yeah, it was just so extra. It was pointless and extra, and we didn't need it. She did not need to be in this movie. I don't understand. She did nothing at all. She didn't do anything that was like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like I want to give it a 5, but I think it's a 4.
It's a 4. I mean, it was entertaining, but it was just...
Yeah. And when he kills some of those dorky people, like, we didn't talk about how he kills the one guy. He straps him to a car and lets him fly off, and we laughed so loud in the theater. He looked like a dolphin flying in the air.
Whee! Oh, my God. It was funny. It was funny.
It made us laugh. And I was like, if the whole movie was this, I think I would love it. But it started taking itself so fucking serious.
Yeah. It was...
I still don't believe that woman would have killed herself, by the way. I really don't. I think that that seems very odd and out of place in the movie.
Here's the thing. Okay, I don't understand. Maybe Felicia Rashad didn't want to be on screen for too long. But if her daughter works for the FBI and something like this happened to you, I mean, my first thought would be to call my daughter and be like, hey, somebody hacked into my account. Can you help me? You know,
yeah, like, she's like automatically struggling to get the money back.
Yeah.
And we know it hasn't been that long because she's going to make dinner. She started making dinner and it started burning.
Yeah. And it just seems so like why
it could only be a couple hours.
Yes. But if you're starting, here's the thing. Like, why would she even start dinner if you knew you were going to kill yourself? You know,
she started dinner before she sat down, I guess. I don't understand it either. And that's why I was saying to you, like, the fact that she went and got a gun and just shot herself because of because what happened with, and she got fraud alerts on her phone. And I was like, okay, there's got to be a way to work this out.
Yeah. If I spend $238 in Orlando.
Yeah.
You know,
we're detecting fraud alerts.
Yeah. We're detecting fraud or, you know,
the and Capital it did. It was all over her phone. I saw it pop up on her phone like a lot from all these companies. So I was like, they're not going to help her out. There's no way around this.
Yeah, it's like there's got to be something. Like these banks are insured, you know, against hackers and stuff. I mean, does it matter if she put in her password and helped them along? I mean, she's just an unsuspecting older lady, you know, so she didn't know. But the first thing she should have done was call her daughter, who works for the goddamn FBI, and maybe could have helped her out in like the cyber crimes, you know, unit or something. And she just takes her own life immediately, like
instantly.
Yeah. It was just so. It didn't make any sense. It just didn't. So, I don't know. I mean,
Yeah. And she also knew this guy was coming, the beekeeper was coming over for dinner, like, to just kill herself. Right. And it makes me question the reason the daughter showed up is that she might have called her, but they didn't even talk about that.
No, it was just,
like, the whole thing was. And that's what makes me think there's something wrong. Why I don't believe that the woman would have killed herself. So I was like, I thought they were opening that up for something.
Like someone killed, like, really? Like, you're going to steal all this woman's money and then you come and shoot her? Like, that's just
I'm thinking that she, whoever that was, that they lost the money, she lost all the money of that company, that organization.
It was a goddamn charity.
I know, but it could have been something else. It could be
a write-off. All right. So they came and they shot her. Are you kidding me? In a matter of 2 hours?
I believe me. I think it's just as insane as the movie is. Like the fact that all this happened.
I don't know.
The fact that this woman got ripped off the day that she was going to make dinner for the beekeeper.
It was just a bit much, with especially the terrible usage of good actors like Jeremy Irons and Mini Driver. I just feel like this is, and then a little turd like Josh Hutcherson you put front and center in the movie. I'm like, this is just, and I know why they picked him, because he's a good turd.
Yeah, he's a good, like, a little weasel.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that there's the movies like this get dumped in January and all that, very, because they are perfect fodder for the theater. People might go see them. We had a bunch of people who are very, like, into cheering for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure that it'll be on Amazon Prime around the time that this comes out. Uh-huh. So, because it did say Amazon MGM in the beginning or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's weird. So I wonder if this is going to be like an exclusive to Amazon or something.
Yep. Probably.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's what we think.
So we got.
That's all.
That's all we got. I mean, time to.
I would ask if there's a 10-star review, but I don't think there is.
Wait, oh, God. For real? You want me to do that?
No, it's all right.
I mean,
I was just laughing. I was like, oh, if you actually pulled a 10-star review out and said, I was like, man, this is shit. It's the bomb, man.
Oh, stop. Let me look. Just for shits and giggles. Let me just look. All right. See all user reviews.
I hope there's a lot of bee puns in those damn reviews.
Yes, there are 10-star reviews. Oh, there are,
I knew it.
Several. And yes, we're a whole page worth of 10-star reviews already. Oh boy, there's a lot. So let's see if there's any puns. Let there be light. There's that. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the puns.
The fact that someone gave it a 10-star. God bless him, man. Honestly.
Righteously kick ass. Amazing. Great action. Stop a scamming world today. I love it. Refreshing. Oh, I can't do this anymore. Can we be out?
You want to be out?
I want to be out.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
Beekeepers is a special program outside the chain of command.
I protect the hive. When the system is out of balance, I correct it.
We have laws for these things.
Until they fail, then you have me.
You are a problem.
Goddamn right, I'm a problem.
Oh, behave. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.